You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com. Well, good morning, everybody. How about our fantastic music ministry today? Woo! I love it. Well, if you're a guest, we are so glad that you are here today. It's a great time to be a part of St. Luke, a community of people that will love you well. I'm going to dig right in, and there is a caveat. Your preacher made an error on the slides. This is not Matthew's gospel. It is 1 John chapter 3, so hang in there with me. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brother, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. And super thanks to our friends in the back who fixed my typo from earlier. I love it. Well, I want you to take a moment to reflect on this. Who in your life is the easiest person to love? Who is the toughest person to love? Think about that for just a minute. Do you have a name and a face come to mind for both? That's a yes. See, when it gets quiet like that, that's a guaranteed yes. If not, we'll talk after worship today. I'll be glad to take your confession. I think the real pickle is to figure out why some people are easier to love than others, yes? Yeah, well, there's a theologian, Nicholas Walterstorff. He claims that love has four different categories. The first category, you might think of it like credit card love. It's the egoist. And this is a perfect season for credit cards. So the idea is I make a payment, I expect something in return. So if I love you, I act with you, act toward you in a certain way, I expect you're going to act toward me in a certain way. The second version of this love is what we call membership card love. You might remember the pass it on billboards that existed up and down the highways, especially in major cities in years past. The whole idea behind this is if I act in a certain way, it helps me become a virtuous person. And so if I become a virtuous person, if I live my life in a certain way, if I love people a certain way, it gives me a certain value of virtue, and that helps me become a certain kind of person, membership card love. And the third, especially on point for this season, I call it gift card exchange love. You know how this works. Everybody brings a $25 gift card, and essentially you just exchange gift cards across the aisle. Now I have Kroger, and you have Meijer, however that works. And it's utilitarian kind of love. The whole idea is, how will the same amount of love be returned to me, and how do we benefit the greatest number of people? And so in a minute and a half, I've just given you a basic moral theory course. And if you want more, I'd be glad to talk to you after worship too. But the whole idea is, if I rightly love you, if my actions are expressed in love, I expect something in return. If I am a virtuous kind of person and love you, well, I'm part of the club. Or if I love you and my actions are a certain way, I expect the same kind of reciprocity in return from you. And if you don't believe me, I have a social experiment for you to try this winter. I want you to go to Rupp Arena for the UK Arkansas game. And I want you to have two tickets with you and find a group of three people and tell them these tickets are yours, free of charge. Then I want you to sit down on the steps by Rupp, grab your bucket of popcorn, and just watch, because it's going to be fantastic. The first person to speak up guaranteed will be the egoist, the credit card love. They'll tell you all of the reasons why they should have a ticket, and they won't really care about anybody else because, hey, I need to get my ticket and get in and see this thing. Now, the second version, the membership card love folks, they're going to talk to you how it would be a virtuous thing if they received one of the tickets because, you know, they're one of the best fans that's out there. They know all the statistics, and it's going to help them in their love for UK, and they're going to root UK on better than anybody else in the entire arena. And the third person, the utilitarian, the gift card exchange kind of love, they're going to tell you that they should deserve to have one of the tickets, another person, another one of the tickets, and to the third poor sap who's going to get left out of the game, they'll say, I'll bring you to a game later on and get better seats for you. Yes? Because who doesn't want to go and watch Coach Cal get smoked that night? That's how it's going to work, friends. The problem is, in the end, these kinds of love, all three versions, the credit card, the membership card, and the gift card, they always have me at the center of it. And for those of you paying attention, you'll notice that I missed the fourth category, which is what makes this scripture so hard. This is the message you have heard from the beginning that we should love. I don't know if it comes to mind for you, but you've always got the picture of that one person in mind that's tough to love, and you wonder, is there an exception for them? Like, where's the footnotes part of this? Where's the list that I don't know about? What's the Greek part of this that exempts me from having to love the people that I don't want to love about? And look, guilty as charged. I grew up playing hockey, and we didn't want to love one another. We listened to AC/DC, and the whole idea was, who are we going to beat the hell out of tonight? I mean, that's how it worked. There's always an exemption we're looking for because there's always that one person that's just so tough to love, but there's no qualifiers in 1 John. And you could say, well, you know, he's really referencing the brothers, Brian, which of course is the Christian community, and that's fair. I'll take that. The problem is John would have had in his heart scriptures like this at the same time. What good is it to just love your neighbor? If you really want to do something special, you've got to love your enemy. And the word here is this word agape, and behind it is really, think of a triangle that's held in tension by all three different sides. We have to love God, and when we're able to love God and live his commands and trust that he really has the best way and the best plan for his life, that his way is the greatest way, well, then we're able to love our neighbor. And when we're able to love God and love our neighbor, then we can truly love ourselves. And it's that third one that's really hard because in our culture today, we tend to either underlove ourselves and become a doormat for everybody, or we overlove ourselves, and in the process, it's a struggle to love God or to love our neighbor. That's exactly the reason why Jesus said on the night before he died, what you're going to be known by is the way you love each other. That's what will characterize my followers, the way they love each other. And that reminds me of two of my favorite people from one of my first churches, Garnet and Violet. They were married at 16 years old, married almost 70 years. That's a long time. And Garnet, he was a little bit gruff. He kind of had that Kentucky farmer. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. He was a little gruff. And he ruled the roost. There was no doubt about it. The thing was, Miss Violet, she ruled the rooster. And so Garnet and Violet, they loved each other. I mean, you could see it. Like, even when he got gruff, Miss Violet, she'd kind of look at him sideways, and that was the end of that. Well, it came to a certain point in Garnet's life that he had a stroke, and he was non-communicative. But to see the version of God's love interacting in that relationship, the way that she constantly cared for him, she never had a bad day. She never complained. She poured herself out. And the reciprocity of sorts was the way that Garnet smiled at her. You knew exactly how he felt about his wife. It wasn't long after that, after Garnet passed, Miss Violet wasn't but a few months behind, because one without the other is an incomplete story. It's this kind of love, it's the reason you've probably either checked out at this point, thinking, yeah, I've heard this before, or hurry up, can we get back to the music? I don't blame you. Or even, yeah, that's well and good, but it really doesn't apply to my life today. And it's this kind of thinking, it's this sort of attitude I submit to you this morning that's really at the heart of the issue. See, the 21st century attitude of the heart is so shaped by the moral theories of love, the credit card, the membership, or the gift card, That love should be there when I want it, where I want it, how I want it, in the way that I want it, in the measure that I'm deserved. That it's hard to love people who we don't want to love, who quite frankly are hard to love, because that kind of love, it's not about them, it's about you. And the love of God is different. Friends, that's why we need Christmas. Because we're unable to love that way without the love of God which came down and wrapped itself in flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood and the experience of human life and showed us an entirely different way to love without us being at the center of it all. In fact, John would go on in the letter that we read today, and he says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in..." See, love's not a noun. Love's a verb. It's action, even when we don't feel like it. And that's Christmas. Jesus came to love every single one of us tough cases, including this guy right here. The easier ones and the tougher ones. He was born in a cave, forgotten by those he came to save. He was hated by zealots. He was hated by the religious community, and in the end, he died on a cross, and the greatest expression of love is every breath is leaving his body. He said, "Father, forgive these people. They don't know what they're doing." That's a love that gives without thought of return, a love that's not about self, but about others. And it's a love that he gives to us for everyone. So this season at St. Luke, we've taken on something called the Advent Conspiracy Project. And the entire purpose behind it is to rescue Christmas from some of the consumerism that it's become. Because at the heart, this is really the story of love which has come down for every single one of us to change our hearts, to change our lives. And I want to encourage you to act with love in these next couple days. We'd love to see you at 3:30 or 5:30 right back here at St. Luke for Christmas Eve service. Bring some cans with you to support our Blue Barrel Project, which supports families in need here in the Lexington community every day. I can think of no better way to put love into action than to feed people who are in need. So this week, as you make your way into the homes of people who you can love easily and those who you need a little bit of extra effort, I encourage you to think about what John says, to love all, the ones who are easy, the ones who are hard, and even the one that you look in the mirror at every morning. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your love, for your faithfulness, for this wonderful tribute in worship today to you, love that came down at Christmas. And we pray that you'd soften our hearts to gain the message of Christmas, that love came down for each one of us, that we could love you more perfectly, that we could love our neighbor and love ourselves. Help us to love all this week as we take the wonder and the glory of Christmas with us. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.